Today's daf is Nida daf Samach Aleph, and we are at the Mishnah in the beginning of daf Samach Amid Beis, continuing to discuss halachos of Ksonim. Zok the Mishnah, Shalish Nashim, Shehoyu Yishenos Bebitachas. There were three women that were sleeping in the same bed. They woke up in the morning, V'nimtzadam Tachas Achas Mehen, and they found blood on the bed. The question is, which woman did the blood come from? They're assuming for sure it came from one of them. They just don't know which one. Says the Mishnah, Kulan Temeos. The halacha is that they're all going to be tummy. But achas me'am v'nimtzas temeo. What if one of the women did a bedika and she found that she was anida? Meaning when she went to sleep the night before, she didn't think she was anida. Now she wakes up in the morning, she does a bedika, and she sees that she's tummy. So the halacha is, temeo v'shteyam tairis. We assume that the kesem came from her. With Toila the Kesem and this woman who we now know for sure is Anida, and the other ones are going to be to Hairois. What happens? V'toyla is Zubazu, says the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues and says that they can be Toila in each other. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. If they were women that were not in a state where they were generally seeing them, we view them as if they really were seeing them. What exactly that means, we'll see in the Gemara as well. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that this that the Mishnah said, three women were sleeping in the same bed, they wake up in the morning, v'nimtza dam tachas achas mehem. We have no idea who the blood came from, so they're all going to be presumed to be tamei. If one of them does a bedika and she finds dam, so now we say that the kesem that was found probably came from her. So she's going to be tamei, and the others are going to be tamei. Seems like a straightforward halacha. But really, what the Gemara is saying is more than just the straightforward, obvious component, and that is that this woman that does the bedikah and finds dam is going to be considered vadai tamei lemafreya. That's already a little bit of a chiddush. Because ordinarily, when a woman does a bedikah, even though we learned in the first sugya Masech Tesnida, you have to halka, that there's an idea of Tumah L'Mafreya, right? The first sugya Masech Tesnida was, a woman does a bedika, she finds dam, so the halacha is she Tumah L'Mafreya or is she not Tumah L'Mafreya? Shammai says, Dayan Shaifen Hill says, no, you have to go back to the last time she knows for sure she was tar, anything in between is going to be a problem. The Chachamim say, up to 24 hours. That was the first sugya. But what was mavur after going through the first few dafin of the Masechta was that even Hillel and the Chachamim that were concerned for Tumah L'Mafreya, it was only a chumra that they said with regards to Kachin and maybe Truma and maybe Chulin Shenasu al Tairos HaKodesh. But for ordinary Tahiros, this halacha of Tumah L'Mafreya was never said. Meaning Tumah L'Mafreya has a lot of limitations. So by saying now that this woman who does a bedika in the morning, she finds dam, we're going to attribute the kesem, which had been there previously, to her, b'toras vadai is a little bit of a chiddush. Because within the world of Tumah L'Mafreya, even though there is an idea of Tumah L'Mafreya, but it's limited in its scope. Now we're saying that this is more than just a classic case of Tumah L'Mafreya, because she found dam, which means that she's Tomei for sure now. There's Tumah L'Mafreya, okay, with certain limitations, but there was also a Kesem. So we're going to attribute the Kesem to her, which means that she's going to be Tomei L'Mafreya, but Teres Vadai, not only as in the first Sugya, the Masechta, where she could be Metama certain things, but now she's going to be a full-fledged Tomei L'Mafreya, and everybody else is going to be Tahar L'Gamri. That, the Gemara thinks, is a little bit of a Chiddush, and that's the backdrop of the first comment of the Gemara. The only time that's true, that we're going to attribute the kesem to her b'teres vaday, and her Tumah L'Mafreya now is going to be a full-fledged Tumah L'Mafreya, not limited by the limitations that the Gemara discussed in the beginning of the Masechta, that's only if she was baidik herself immediately after the kesem was found, and she found dam, so then we're going to say, Kesem, immediately there was a bedika that was done, we're going to marry the two together. If, however, a little bit of time lapsed, then even though she'll be Tomei L'Mafreya, but she'll only be Tomei L'Mafreya with the limitations that were discussed in the beginning of the Masechta, says the Gemara, Sovel Gavar Pado. And if this is the case, Rabbi Yehuda must hold the Bar Pado, the Amar, who said, and the context of Bar Pado's halacha is also a sugi that we saw in the beginning of the Masechta, and that was discussing a man and a woman, husband and wife, Tashmish, and then after the Tashmish, they found Dam. And the question is, was she a Nida at the time of the Tashmish? Or not. If she was a Nida, this was all b'shoigig, no one realized they were doing an Avera, but the halacha is him and her would both have to bring a Karban Chatas. If someone's boil a Nida b'shoigig, you have to bring a Karban Chatas. If it's a Suffolk, if she was a Nida at that time, Maybe she would have to bring an Ashram Tali. Tali in Sugis and Masechtas Kri says when exactly you bring an Ashram Tali. But for sure there's a tzad you would have to bring an Ashram Tali. If she for sure wasn't a Nida, then it wouldn't be a problem. And the Sugya said that the halacha is, meaning how do you know whether she was a Nida as it relates to the carbon? So it depends how soon after the Tashmish she found the dam. If the dam was found kashir veses, which means immediately, so then the halacha is, you assume that she was a Nida at the time of the Tashmish, they're going to have to bring a carbon chatas. If a little bit of time lapse, then Ashram Tali, if a lot of time lapse, then the halacha, she's going to be potter. So Bar Pada said that even though that those three shiurim were said with regards to the carbonos, but they relate to the halachas of Tyrus as well. Whenever the halach is that the dam was found so soon after the Tashmish that the husband now, and the woman as well, would have to bring a carbon chatos, Tyrus, then it would affect the Tyrus as well. We would say all the Tyrus would be tummy. If it was found a little bit later, with halachas that the husband would only have to bring an Ashram Tali, Tyrus said, so then the Tyrus wouldn't for sure be tummy, but rather Tluya, I said, be Safik Tami. Vailo Potter, if they were found even later than that, where the husband would be Potter, Tyrosea Tahiros, then the Tyros would be Tahar. The point is that you see from Bar Pada that the idea of a Husha Badka Atzma Bashir Veses, that if you do a Badika immediately after the dam was found, the halacha is, we assume Tumul Mafreya, not me Safik. A little bit of a hard gemara, but you assume Tomal Mafreya Vaday, it's not only true as it relates to the Tashmish component, the Boyol Nida component, the carbon component, but it's negated the Tahiris component as well. Not everybody agrees with that. Who argues? Rabbi Ishiya, Amar Rabbi Ishiya says, no, I feel a baila b'chatos. Even when the husband has to bring a carbon chatos, the halach is Tahiriseya Tluyois. So if there was a Tashmish, and right after the Tashmish, she did a bedika and she found dam. So then we assume the tumul mafreya b'teiras vaday to make the husband bring a carbon chatos and sometimes an ashram tali. But as it relates to Tyrus, there was no bia. But she found dam. Even the shir veses l'mafreya is never going to be treated as tumul mafreya b'teiras vaday. So again, Rabbi Yehuda Merav said that when do we attribute the kesem to the woman that did the bedika b'teiras vaday? Is if it was the kesem was found kashir vesis. The kesem was found now, a minute later, or whatever the shir vesis is, seconds later, she did a bedika. So now we attribute the kesem to her b'teres vaday. What's the precedence for the shir vesis where it creates tumul mafreya b'teres vaday? I thought tumul mafreya is only limited. No, the precedence for it is within the sugya b'yol nida. You can bring a chatos if you find dam kashir vesis. So you see, clearly it establishes vaday. Right? You need vaday for chatos, otherwise you get downgraded to ashram tali. So for sure, shir vesis creates a vaday. So that's the precedence for it. But really, it's tali. This machleik is my partner Rav Aisha. The shir vesis was it only said with regards to carbon as it relates to the shir vesis after tashmish? Or is it true, even not related to tashmish? Now, what's the svara? Meaning, what would be the reason to be mechalik between a shir veses as it relates to Tashmish and the chatas and the Ashram Tali versus a shir veses as it relates to Tyrus? If the point is, if a woman does a bedika, you assume for sure was there a second earlier or 5 seconds earlier to bring a carbon chatas, if there was a Tashmish, then why would you assume it's different as it relates to ordinary Tyrus, Tumul Mafreya, Ksavim? It would seem to be more lenient sugya. So why would the shir veses only work there? So the Gemara explains. Rav Oishi explained the shita. He said, Bishleim ha'hasam, by Tashmish, eim ha'shamish akfei ledam. Because there's always a reyes. Anytime a woman does a bedika, so you say, oh, she found dam. That was probably there a second ago. But if it was there a second ago, why didn't she find it a second ago? Why didn't the dam come out? So if there was a tashmish a second ago, that's not a good taina. That's not a reyes. Because you could say the tashmish is the reason. The shamash, the aver, is the reason that the dam didn't come out earlier. But over here, in Isa, the havidam, ma makve. But over here, if there was dam, who was being ma'akiv the dam? So as a result, the shir veses works with regards to bayol nida, chatas, karis, ashram tali, even though it's more chomer, because there's a svara that if there was a tashmish moment right before that, maybe that's what was ma'akiv the dam, as relates to Tyrus, even though the sugya of Tyrus isn't as chomer as sugya, but at the end of the day, there's a reyes, a keneged, the shir veses of if the dam was there a moment earlier, why didn't the dam come out? Either way, the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah felt that he wanted to explain Rabbi Oishia's halacha with a mashal. Again, a mashal to explain why is it that if a woman does a bedika right after Tashmish and she finds dam, so we say, b'teres vaday, the shir veses, that small shear prior to the Tashmish, there was for sure dam there. If there was for sure dam, why didn't the dam come out? By Tyrus, you don't assume the dam was for sure there because you're always wondering, why didn't the dam come out? Oh, here the Tashmish itself, the Aver, the Shamish didn't allow the Tashmish to come out. So if you want me to explain it to you with a mash, there was a young child walking together with an old man. And they were walking together, the young person, even though he was able to walk faster, but out of respect to this older person, he was walking with him. When they came to the city, so now the old man knew his own way, and this younger person wanted to go home. So Yeled, Memar Lovis, Yeled went ahead and he ran home. So to over here, the Aver, the Shamish is the old man, so to speak, and the Dam is the young child. So as long as the Dam, even though the Dam can run technically, but it's not running because it's together with the Shamish. As soon as the Shamish goes away, so they part ways, so then the Dam comes running out. That's the young child that runs home. Rabbi, I'll explain to you with a different mashal. Mashal Rabbi Yishev Madav Adayim. With other mishnayos, and that's why a person took his finger and he stuck it into his eye. Because mancha, that's why, as long as his finger's in his eye, dimashaya lovai, he's not going to tear because the finger is going to somehow obstruct the tears from coming out. Not the la'etzba. If he removes his finger, then he's going to start tearing. So it's the same thing over here. Incidentally, this is the third time we have this mashal, where the finger is the shamish, and the eye is oisei makam of the isha, the tears are the zera, and sometimes the blood. So this is an example of where the tears are the blood. Either way, two mashal of a toilois, zubazu. So the second halach of the Mishnah was, the toilois zubazu. What does that mean? Tanu rabbi ketsa toilois zubazu. Ubra v'sheinu ubra. If, again, three women, they were sleeping in the same bed. They wake up in the morning and they find the kesem, they find the stain. So the question is, who did the blood come from? So the halach is, they could be toilin each other. Explain, says the Braisa. So if one of the women was pregnant and the other one was not pregnant, so toilu ubra b'sheinu ubra. So we'll assume it was the non-pregnant woman that had the kesem. What's the reason? Because a pregnant woman is becheskas mesulekas dabin. When is she becheskas mesulekas dabin? When the ubra is nicker. When is that? After 3 months. Before 3 months, even though typically women don't have their regular oirich bizman oibo once they become a muberis, but in halacha, a woman doesn't become becheskas misulekas damim until 3 months pass. Menika v'sheinu menika, if one of the women was nursing, tayla menika v'sheinu menika, because I mean, that is also becheskas misulekas damim. The assumption is that a nursing woman doesn't have that. Skena v'sheinu skena, if one of the women was older, she's already at the age where she doesn't have her regular dam, tayla skena v'sheinu skena, besula v'sheinu besula. If one of the women were a besula, so again, she's so young that she hasn't started seeing blood yet. Very simple. What happens if her shteim ubrois? What if they were both pregnant? Shteim, because they're both nursing. Shteim is both older. Shteim is both younger. So ishashanino. That's the last line of the mishloi. How yeruyan lirois? Ryan ki iluhen ruyos. If none of them, meaning if they were all becheskas mesulekas damim, none of them were at a place where they're generally seeing them. So then the halacha is we look at all of them as if they are seeing them. And they really can't point fingers at each other because there's no one to be toilin, and therefore they're all treated equally. So again, the Mishnah said three halachas. What was the first halacha? Three women were sleeping in a bed. They woke up in the morning. They found dam. So the halacha is, we don't know who the dam came from. Kulan tmeis, which by the way is a little bit of a chiddush. Why? Because we're dealing with ksamim, and ksamim is really only an issa d'rabbanon. So maybe you say safik d'rabbanon l'hakel, and maybe they should all be tahar. The halacha is kulan tmeis. Then the Mishnah says, what happens if one of them did a bedika, so she's the one that's tame, with toilet in her, and everybody else not. And we saw chiddush al gav chiddush. Not only is she tame, but she's tame b'teres vaday, even though tumel mafreya never works b'teres vaday. It's limited. Here she's tame b'teres vaday, but only if it was kishir veses, which is totally in a machlekes bar pod and rabbi Yishev. That was the hard part of the daf, where there's a machlekes. Do you say the shir veses only if there was a tashmish before the shir vessels, or do we use the shir vessels even if there was no tashmish shir vessels? Why should tashmish be different? Two mishalim, the Gemara explained. The third halacha was, what happens if one of the women was a woman that's becheskas misulekas damim, and the other one was not becheskas misulekas? So we always are going to assume the woman that's becheskas misulekas damim is not the one that had dam. If one of the women is pregnant, she's not seeing dam, then it's obvious, or at least it's fair to assume that it didn't come from her. What if they're all becheskas misulekas damim? So then we can't do anything with this. We look at these women that are not royos, ki'ilu hein royos. Another Mishnah that goes me'inyan le'inyan. Again, three women were sleeping in the same bed. They woke up in the morning, then said, and they found blood underneath the woman that was sleeping in the middle. So they were sleeping side by side, and the middle woman now found dam. They're all going to be tummy. Tachas hapnimis, because we don't know who it came from. Tachas hapnimis. So what if, just to... The Rashi's case is, with the three women, this bed was up against the wall. So there were two women that were inner, meaning they were closer to the wall, and there was one that was further away from the wall. So the halacha is, if it was found underneath one of the pnimis, one of the two women that were closer to the wall, so pnimis tmeis, those two are going to be tameh, v'achitzayin detayra, and the one to the outside is going to be tameh. Tachas achitzayin, if it was found underneath one of the women that were sleeping towards the outer part of the wall, those two are going to be tamei. The one to the pnimis is going to be tar. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious contradiction. The two Mishnayos seem to contradict each other. Right, the first Mishnah mentioned three women were sleeping over there. They found out, what's the halacha? They're all tamei. Unless one's becheskes mesulekes damim, or one did a bedika, right? You're getting involved in the lumdis in the sechtes nida. And here, no, it depends. You're closer to the wall, you're farther from the wall. I mean, how did these two Mishnayos reconcile? Either way, Amos, when is this true? That it matters where your position is relative to the wall, also relative to where the stain was found. That's bizmancha abu derech magolos amito. That's if when the women climbed onto the bed, the way they ascended the bed was through the foot of the bed. But if they all crossed over the bed just to get to their position on the bed, then kulant meyas. Because then we'll assume if it was found on the outside, that case, even the woman that's sleeping in the pnimis, but she crossed over the chitzayna to get to where she got. So if you find the kesem on the chitzayna, you have no raya for sure that it didn't come from her. But gachas nevadim says to her, what happens if one of them did a bedika and she found that she's tar? So the lachas he tara. She's going to be tar, and the other ones are going to be tameh. So this is the exact opposite of the first mission. The first mission said a woman did a bedika, she was tameh, so the halach is, okay, she's for sure the one that the kesem came from. Here was the opposite. Here, one of them did a bedika, she was tar. So the halach is, she's tar, the other one's not tameh. But gushnaim wants to tell us, what if two of them did a bedika and they were both tar? Hey, tar, so she's tameh. So they're both going to be tar, the third one's going to be tameh. Shlosh and amatsu tar, what if all three did a bedika and they were all tar? So then the halach is cool and tameh, because it came from somebody. So if they all did a bedika and they were all tar, so not sure what happened, but they're all going to be tummy. Again, a mushal. Legal tummy, shenis arev, then shnei galim tayim. There was a gal. There was a big pile of stone where we know that there's a little bit of a mace, let's say a kezayis basim and a mace, which has the ability to be metame ba'oil, that's in this gal. And they lost the gal. The gal was somehow lost. Shenis arev, then shnei galim tayim. So there were three galim. One of them is tahar, and the other one is tameh. Ubatku achas mehem, and they were trying to find which one had the gezayis basim. They did a bedika on one of them, and they found that it was tahar. So we could assume that that's tahar. Who tahar? Shnayim tameh. The other two are going to be tameh. Shnayim umatzu tahar. What if they did bedika for two of them, and they found them both to be tahar? Heim tahar mishlishim tameh. Shlosh umatzu tahar. If they were both all three, and they found them all tahar, so what's the halacha? Kulam tameh. Devi Rameir. So Rameir said in that halacha, they're all going to be tameh. So Rameir used to say, Kol davish becheskas tuma lo'olam ubetumase achshiv adcha tuma heichanu. That if something's becheskas tuma, and now you can't find the tuma, doesn't matter. The halacha is, even though you can't find it, if it was becheskas tuma, you have to assume that it's always going to remain tameh. This is Rameir who's chayish. But either way, the point is, it says Rameir, that in this case, where one of the women are for sure tameh, because you found the kesem, wasn't there at night, and now you woke up in the morning and you found the kesem, so one of them must be tameh. If they all do a bedika and you couldn't find the dam, and none of them found themselves to be tameh, so we don't assume, oh, they all did a bedika, must be they're all tahar and the kesem came me'alma. No, there is a takonas chachamim of ksamim, and in this case, there's nothing to be toiled the kesem in. So we assume it for sure came from one of them, and the fact that they all did a bedika and came up tar doesn't mean anything. One of them for sure has to be tameh, and they're going to be tameh. And Rameir said, I have precedence for this. Mashal, think of Tumas Meis that gets lost. You know there's three galim over here, three heaps of stone. One of them has meis in it. You know for a fact. Now you did pedik because you couldn't find it. I hear you couldn't find it. But you can't be oikar a chazaka based on the fact that you couldn't find it. So just like there, even though the pedika came up showing nothing, this for sure going to be presumed tuma. Here too, one of them is going to be tuma. The Chachamim said, Ramei, I disagree with you. I agree with your halacha, I disagree with the mashal. So the mashal is supposed to help your case. In this case, Ramei came up with a mashal, and not only didn't the mashal help him, but it actually digressed the Chachamim a little when they said, Ramei, I agree with the halacha. In this case, these three women, one of them is tuma, even though they all three did bedinkas, and they couldn't find it. As relates to your mashal, I disagree. If you have these three galim, one of them there was tumah in, and now you did a badika, you couldn't find it. So whatever, you don't have to start making excavations to try to find this kazayis basam and ames. Your baydek achemagei lasela, that's the rock. Once you get to a hard surface, oil psula or virgin land where there was nothing planted, there's nothing underneath it. That's already enough. And if you can't find it, the halacha is tart. So the chachamim agreed to Rameir's halacha, they disagreed with Rameir's mashal. Interesting. Either way, the Gemara asks, Maishnar Isha, the way Maflik, and Maishnar Sefer, the Gemaflik. So what's the obvious question between the two Mishnayos? Both Mishnayos set up the same example. Sholesh Nashim Shahayu Yushenes Bamita Achas, Venim Tzadam Tachas Achas Mehem. So different variations of this halacha. But the basic halacha that the Mishnah said in the first Mishnah, and in the second Mishnah, was not the same. In the first Mishnah, it said, Kulam Tumeyos. In the second Mishnah, it said, oh, it depends how they're positioned. If there's Pnimiyos and Chitzoinios, depending on where the dam was found, either the Pnimiyos will be Tommy or the Chitzoinios will be Tommy. Frank to Gemara. In the Reisha, Loi Maflik. It doesn't matter if you're sleeping closer to the wall or farther from the world. In the Sefer, it does matter. Omar Rabami bin Meshulavoy. Since Machlik is Rashi, Toys had to learn the Gemara. We'll learn with Rashi. Rashi says, very simple. The first Mishnah is talking about where they were Tchufois. The dvukos yachad, they were sleeping very much next to each other. Hilkoch afilu nimtza tachas apnimis. I'm reading from Rashi. Ikal esfuki nami bechitzayna. In the second Mishnah, they were spread out a little bit more, so the positions were a little bit more distinct. So as a result, there's the pnimis and there's a chitzayna. If that mishulava is the pnimis and the chitzayna isn't so apparent, and as a result, it makes no difference. But ka'achas b'chut. Lovely, the mistake of ma'adav adayim. Why did Rameir need a marshal? So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamalu Rameir l'rabbanim." You're right. Rameir didn't really need a marshal, but if you would know the rest of the story, the context of how this machloikis between Rameir and the Chachamim went down, you would appreciate why the Mishnah went from talking about Ksamim to this Gal Shel Atzomis. Says the Gemara, Maishna Badam Deloi Pligisu, Maishna Begal De Pligisu. So apparently there must have been an age-old machloikis between Rameir and the Chachamim regarding this Gal, where there was a Gal Shel, there was this Gal of Avonim, and a little bit of Mace was lost, and there were other galim that we knew were tahar, and they started excavating and looking, and they couldn't find it. And this was an old machlokes. And Rameir felt that in that case, the halacha is, if you can't find the tumah, you have to assume tumah. The Chum disagreed. And Rameir used this Mishnah in Ksamim as an opportunity to go back to this age-old debate that they had. So you're right. In the sugya of Ksamim, it's not necessary to be talking about Gal. You know, a mashal's supposed to help the nimshal. You're supposed to appreciate the punchline of the nimshal a little bit better when you have a mashal. That's the Gemara's kasha. It's not helping me over here. It's not necessary. It's not helping me. Gemara says, you're right. But if you appreciate some context, that Rameir, the Chachamim, used to argue this, and that Rameir felt that he had rayos from here. So he told him, I don't understand. Maishna b'dam d'loi plegisu. Maishna b'gal d'plegisu. Isn't it the same case? Just like over here, where there's a kesem from one of the three, they all did bedikas. None of them seem to be tummy. What's the halacha? They're all tummy. So why, by the gal, don't you say the same things? Rabbanon, answer very simple. Bishlan hasam over the ema erev nakla. Over there, no. He says the difference is that I agree with you, Rav Meir, that in the case where there was one gal that had a little bit of mace inside of it, that the mace was there. I'm not denying that the mace was there. I just think the mace isn't there anymore. Where did it go? I don't know, maybe a raven came and took it away. But over here, what happened? If one of the women saw this kesem, she's tummy until she goes to the mikvah. So over here, what do you want me to tell you? Right? There's no oirev over here. So what does that even mean? So bishloim there, yeah, I agree with you that it was for sure there. I just think it was taken away. So moving forward, you don't have to worry about it. But as it relates to Nida, that doesn't make any sense. Look more time. Omer Amir, Amir said, Maisa, there was a story. Beshikma shel Kfar Saba. There was a sycamore tree in Kfar Saba. Shei machzikba tuma. That was always presumed to be tuma. Meaning, there was rumors that there was tuma underneath the sycamore tree. Ubag v'lei masa, but they can never find it. They tried, and nobody could ever find it. Could be it was getting in the way of Kayanim. But either way, they couldn't find the tuma. The Yavim, one day, Nashva by a ruach, a real powerful wind came. The akrasai uprooted the tree. The nimtza gul goyla shalmeis, and they found the skull of a corpse that was in the roots of the tree. And Rav Meir said, so what do you see from here? You see that you could be batgu and you could do b'tidikas, but at the end it doesn't mean anything. So he said, Chachorim, don't you see from this maisa shahoya kachoya? It's a story of Ashkocha Pratis that proves my point, Rav Meir said. That if you know b'chazaka that there's tumma, you can't rely on bedikas. Amrulay said, Chacham told Rameh, listen, I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what happened. But Misham Raya, just from the way you're presenting the facts, I don't think you have any proof of anything. Because Emeloy Batku called Sarcha. How do you know they did a proper bedika? Maybe they didn't do a proper bedika. I hold, say the Chachamim, that if you do a proper bedika, nothing shows up. Shema Oirev Natla. I'm not worried anymore. There was a Maisa Shahaya. Yeah, you're assuming they did a proper bedika. We don't know that for a fact. Tanya Amr Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi had a story. Maisa was a story of Marashal Shichin. This was a cave in Shichin. It was always presumed to be Tomei Batku, and they did a bedika. They did an unbelievable bedika. They literally got it to the point where the ground was as smooth as a fingernail. Okay. But like Matzo, point is, they couldn't find any Toma. One day, there was some heavy, heavy rain, and the Poyalim went into the cave just to shield themselves from the rain. The Natsu Bekardu Moiseim, they took their hackers and they started whacking. Umatsu Machkeshus Mleya Atzameis. And lo and behold, they find this chest and it was full of bones. Meaning they had done bedikas, they can never find it. And all of a sudden they found it. So again, Rabbi Yossi said, this is a riot, Rabbi Yeshita, that once something's becheskes tumi, you stay away from there. Because even though you did a bedika and you can't find it, but Amrulois, again, the Chachamim said, Misham Raya, Ebelei Batku Kotzarchai. You're telling me that they did a good bedika. Clearly not, right? So maybe it wasn't a proper bedika. If it wasn't a proper bedika, you can't bring raya's. I'm saying if you did a really, really good bedika, the bedika has hashkocha on it. These were inspected triple bedikas. Right, at that point, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Tanya, a third story. So there was a story. This was an area in Beis Chayron, that was very, very large. And it was assumed that there was Tumah there, but it was such a large area that nobody could do a Bedika. There was an old man, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya Shemai, and his name was Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Now, Stam Rabbi Yeshua in Shas is Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. So it sounds like that's who we're referring to. It's just interesting. V'hayisham zokin echad, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya Shemai. I mean, clearly Rabbi Yeshua must have been old then, but Rabbi Yeshua was an old man. That's how you refer to Rabbi Yeshua. But either way, v'hayisham zokin echad, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya Shemai. Omelamasi told him, hey, viu li sadinim. He says, I have a way of figuring out where the tomb is. He said, bring me sheets. Hey, viu li sadinim. They brought sheets. V'sharim b'mayim, and he soaked them in water. U'parsan aleim, and he spread these wet, damp sheets over the land. Mokim tahira yavesh, mokim tumalach. The area that was tahar remained dry. The area that was tameh became moist. It absorbed some of the wetness of the sadinim. Ubatku, and they were boidek, umatsu, and they found bar godom ali atzomis. Rabbi Shua's idea was that the rumor was that somebody had buried Mason over there. But it was such a big pot, there was no way they were going to ever find it. So what he did was he took these sardinim, he made them wet, he put them over the land. His thought was that any land that was still in its natural state wouldn't absorb the water. But the land that had once been dug up and then been covered and there was something underneath it, that would be moist, it would react differently to this sadin, and it would absorb it more, and as a result, that's where it would be nicker. The kachava, they saw some of the land absorbed more of the sadin than others, and they knew how to identify now, that's where we have to look. They looked there, and they found a bar gadol malei atzamas. Says the Gemara Tana, who habar, what was this bar? What's the rest of the story? This is the bar Shemila Yishmael ben Asanya Chalol. This is the bar where Yishmael ben Asanya took the Chalolim, these people that he killed, and he buried them in this pit. Dechsev habar asher hishlach sham Yishmael es kol pigrei ha'anoshim asher hika biyad Gedalyah. These were the people, the pasuk seems to say, that Gedalyah ben Achikam, of some Gedalyah fame, kill, and Yishmael ben Nesanya went ahead and he buried these people. And the Gemara says, we'll see the story in a second. Gedalyah Hargon, is that true? Did Gedalyah really kill these people? Well, Yishmael Hargon. Yishmael, the one who buried them, is the one that killed them. Gemara says, you're right. Because Gedalyah should have listened to what Yochanan ben Kareach was telling him, and he didn't. The Torah, or the Pasuk in Yirmiyo, considers it as if he's the one that actually killed him. So the context is that after Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, so the Yidden went into Galus. And there weren't a lot of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, but there were some that were, some settlers. They remained in Eretz Yisrael. And the leader of the Jews at that time was Gedaliah ben Achikam. Gedaliah was actually appointed by the Babylonian Empire that he should be the one that should, he should be the one to protect the few Jews that were still living in Eretz Yisrael. Yishmael ben Asanya was a troublemaker, and he decided that he was going to kill Gedaliah ben Achikam. He didn't like the fact that Gedaliah ben Achikam had power, and he wanted to kill him. Gedaliah was a tzaddik, Tzoyim Gedaliah. We fast that Adayim Hazeh. But Yishmael ben Asanya wanted to kill him. And Gedaliah received intelligence from a Yid, Yoichan ben Kareach, that there's a plot that Yishmael wants to kill you. But Gedaliah didn't listen. He says, nah, I know Yishmael. He's not a bad guy. He's misunderstood. I don't think he wants to kill me. Either way, by Hiyayim, they were at a banquet together. They're sitting. There's food. There's drinks. Yishmael got up. He killed Gedaliah ben Achikam. And he killed all his followers. And he took all these people. And he threw them into this pit. That's the pit that was found. Those are the Atzamis that were found in the times of Yeshua ben Chananya. But the Pasuk, very mysteriously says, "V'habor asher hishlach shlam Yishmael eis kol pigreya anoshim asher hika biyad Gedaliah," which sounds like Gedaliah ben Achikam was the murderer. He was the Ritzach. It was just, yeah, he wasn't the Ritzach. He was killed. He was together with all these other people that were killed by Yishmael ben Asanya. So it says the Gemara something very scary, that being that Gedaliah ben Achikam knew or was told that something might happen, and he said, nah, don't worry about it. He didn't take the Eitz of Yoichanan ben Kareach seriously. Ma'la olav akosuf ke'ilu haragon. The Torah considers it as if he himself was the one that killed. Says the Gemara. On that note, we digress from our digression. Again, let's follow the paper trail. We're talking about Ksamim, where three women, they wake up, there's a kesem, they don't know who it came from, and they all did bedikins and they were all tar. So even though nobody could find the kesem, they're all presumed to be tamei. From there we move to a case where you know for sure there's Tumas Meis here. One of the Galim has Tumas Meis. We can't find which one. We did Bedikas on all three, Machlekes, Rameir, and the Chachamim. Then we bring Maisa Shahoyas, Kachoyas, three stories where there was presumed to be Tumah. They couldn't find it, and then years later, they found it. One of them was Zokin Echad, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya Shemai, interesting, that said, gave the Yidden a way to find Tumah that was buried in Beis Chayron. That Tumah was related to Gedaliah ben Achikam. So now the Gemara digresses and says, "Amar Rava, I have a takeaway from that story of Gedaliah ben Achikam. Hai lishna bisha. When it comes to lashon hara, afal pi delikabulu lemibayi. Even though you're not allowed to accept lashon hara, right? Everyone knows this. You can't be makabel lashon hara. Likabule lemibayi. You're not supposed to be makabel lashon hara. Whatever makabel means, quote unquote. But you can't speak Lashon Hara, and you can't be Mekabel Lashon Hara. But Mecha Shlemi Bayi. But you see from here that to be a Nar and to completely dismiss Lashon Hara, also not. So ask your local rabbi or Ayin Sefer Chavetz Chaim to see how this plays out, Halacha L'maisa. But this was Rava's comment. Rava said that, what do you mean? Gedaliah ben Achikam was a big tzaddik, right? Of course he didn't listen to what Yoichad ben Kareach said. It was Lashon Hara. You're not supposed to be Mekabel Lashon Hara. No, if somebody whispers into your ear that somebody wants to hurt you, you can't say, "Oh, Lashon Hara, not be Mekabel Lashon Hara." Go on and, you know, share drinks with him, because then the story may end up with Tzoyim Gedaliah. And that's what Rava's takeaway was. Rava said that one of the lessons of Tzoyim Gedaliah is that afal haylish nevisha, when it comes to Lashon Hara, afal be the lekabuli lemibaya, you're not supposed to be Mekabel Lashon Hara, very practical, but mechosh lemibaya. And now the Gemara digresses from its digression, Hani b'nei galil, the nafag lai the katal nafsho. There was a story with the B'nai Galila where rumors started spreading that these people were Reitzchem. Anyways, there was a bounty on their heads. These people, the B'nai Galila. Also, the Kabbat Rav Tarfin. They went running to Rav Tarfin. Amrle, they said, "Rebbe, let Marina and Mar, hide us. You know, the authorities are coming after us. They want to kill us." Amr Aluhu, so he told them, "Hechi Navin, I'm not really sure what to do. Iloi at Mirinchu Chazi Asaychu." I mean, if I don't hide you, they're going to kill you. That's not good. At Mirinchu, should I hide you? Ha'amir Rabbanan, Ha'ilish Nebisha, Avagav Tegbul Le'mibaya, Mechesh Le'mibaya. Meaning, I'm only going to hide you if I think you're innocent. I'm not so sure you're innocent. Why? Because there's rumors that you're a Ritzeach. But they said, no, it's Lashon Hara. Reb, you can't be Mekabel Lashon Hara. So he says, it's true. But Ha'amir Rabbanan, Ha'ilish Nebisha, Avagav Tegbul Le'mibaya, Mechesh Le'mibaya. I do have to be worried about it. So Parvah was worried about Hilchus Lashon Hara, and he says, I don't know if I can save your life. So what did he do? Zilu atin tamaru nafshai. So I'll tell you what, you go hide yourselves. I won't give you up, but at the same time, I can't get involved. So this idea of haylish nebisha, afal gavta lekabuli lemibaya, mechash lemibaya, so first thing Gemara brought it from Rava, and now it it already goes back generations. It goes back to Reb Tarfon already, one of the Tanam. And again, continuing on this theme of digression. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, al tira. So what's the rest of the pasuk? Al tira oisoi, ki biyotcha nasati oisoi, ves kol amoi, ves artsoi. So the context over there is oig melech habashan. So Hashem tells Moshe, go fight against Oig. And Moshe was afraid to fight Oig. He says, he was afraid. So Hashem told him, al tira oisoi, don't be afraid. And then he told him, because you'll see, I'm going to do to him, kash, the same thing I did with Sichon melech ha-amayri, asher yoshev b'cheshven. So it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't afraid of fighting Sichon. Because you never find anywhere in the Torah that Hashem tells Moshe, don't be afraid of Sichon. Sounds like he was never afraid of Sichon. Who was he afraid of? He was afraid of Oig Melech Habash. Freik de Gemara Akash, Mechti. Sichon v'Oig Achei Hava. Sichon and Oig were brothers. The Amar Mar, Sichon v'Oig b'nei Achia ben Shamchzai Havu. Is Maishna mi Oig de Kamistafe? U Maishna mi Sichon de Loig Kamistafe? It's an interesting question. Because they were brothers, it doesn't mean they're the same. Maybe one was stronger. But that's the Gemara's Kasha. Sichon and Oig were brothers. So if they were brothers, then how come Moshe was never afraid of Sichon? Hashem never had to tell him, Al tira mi Sichon, but he had to tell him, Al tira mi Yoich, Amr Rav Yochanan Mishmei Yochai, V'chuvas Yisholoi, Tzadik Adem Ahayu B'liboy, that you can figure out from what Hashem, it sounds like from Rashi, that the Oysi Tzadik here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ayan HaGoy Sabah, from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, you can figure out a little bit where this was going. Omar, he said, Shema Tamad L'Yischus Shal Avram Avinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that maybe Oig Melech HaBashan had a schus. You know what the schus was? He had the schus that he helped Avram Avinu. Shenema vayovei apolit, vayagil Avram Ivri, va'omar Rabbi Yoichan, zalik shapolit b'dar ha'mabol. The polit came, the survivor came, and told Avram that Loit was captured, got Avram to get involved in the war between the kings, the four and the five kings, but eventually Avram saved Loit. And Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that maybe Oig Melech HaBashan had a schus. He had the schus that he did Avram this favor by going and telling him, by telling him what happened, and it's for that reason that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid. So Sichon didn't have the schus, Oig had the schus. And because Oig had the schus, that's why Vayoyim Hashem El Moshe Al Tira, that's why he thought he would have been afraid. Now, why was Oig Melech HaBashan referred to as the Polit? From Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, Ze Oig She Polat Midor HaMabel. This is Oig who was Polat Midor HaMabel. And that's why he was called the Polit, because he was saved from the Mabel. Now, what does that have to do with the Lashon Hara that we're talking about? Certainly, it has nothing to do with Ksamim. It has nothing to do with the Gal Shel Atzamos. It has nothing to do with Tzayim Gedalia. So where does this get involved? The point is that you see from here that Avram Avinu was concerned for what Loi told him, meaning Loi, to what Oig told him. Oig came and he told him that there's a war and that Loi was captured. So what should Avram Avinu have said? He should have said, what do you mean? It's Hilchos Lashon Hara. I'm not letting it be Makabel what you're telling me. He should have gotten involved. But Avram said, no, I mean, maybe it's true. Maybe Loi was really captured. He didn't just say Lashon Hara, even though you're not going to be Makabel Lashon Hara. And maybe there were aspects of this story that Avram wasn't Makabel. I mean, you think for sure that Oig comes, he tells Avram, you know, your nephew Loi was captured. He says, yeah, oh, for sure. He believes it 100%. Avram didn't believe it 100%. Hilchos Lashon Hara. But at the same time, Mechash Mi Abai, and that's why it comes in over here. I'll just tell you one interesting thing I heard many years ago. The Sfar Makdoshim say that Sichon and Oig were brothers. Who cares? Why is that important? That Sichon and Oig were brothers. Because the pasuk says, Hinei ma toivu ma noam, sheves achem gam yochad. That when brothers band together, they create a synergy. They have this power, this force, that they can overcome unbelievable things. So the Svar Makdoshim say that Sichon and Oig were very, very powerful. You know why? Because they were brothers on the same page. Hinei ma toivu ma noam, sheves achem gam yochad. Who defeated Sichon and Oig? Moshe and Aharon. Moshe and Aharon were also brothers. And they had the same koyach of Hinei ma toivu ma noyim sheves achem gam yochad. Nobody was able to overcome Sichon and Oig until Moshe and Aharon came. Because they had that same koyach of mida keneged mida of Hinei ma toivu ma noyim sheves achem gam yochad. Zok de gemara. Tan Rabbanan. So daf samach aleph amid beis needs an asterisk next to it. We're not going to have a chance to go through this properly. Metz Hashem will save the raid on Amid Beis for tomorrow. But for now, Samach Aleph Amid Beis and Hilch in the Sech is Nida is classic. Tanu Rabbanu, Beged Shavu by Kesem. What happens if you had a Beged and there was a Kesem inside this Beged and now you can't find the Kesem? So Rashi says, why wouldn't you be able to find the Kesem? So Rashi says, two pshatim. One pshat is, the first pshat, Gyun Shenichnas B'mayim. The Beged was washed. I mean that it was washed, you can't really find the Kesem. So what's the issue that you can't find the kesem? So the issue is that if a beged has a kesem, so today you're just sticking in the washing machine. It is what it is. But once upon a time, there was a problem. Because the kesem, assuming it's dam nida, is tameh. Dam nida is metama. It's real tumah. And because it's real tumah, it's not enough to just wash it. What you have to do is, there were certain cleansing agents that had to be put on this dam in order to be metaren. In fact, it's the next Mishnah we're going to learn in tomorrow's daf exactly how it was done. The Mishnah says, Shiva samoni mavir nala kesem. That there's different ways to be metayer kesem and shechvazera, different things of tumah. There's a very prescribed way of going at bad and being metayer. The question is, you have a large beged and there's a kesem. So the question is, do you have to now go clean the entire beged with the shiva samanim? Or maybe there's another way out. There's another way to do this. In the world of anias and poverty, yeah, it becomes a very big thing. There's a shayla that some woman would come running to a rub. What am I supposed to do? I should use all my detergent now, all my samanim for the entire beged. I know there was a thing. I can't find it now because it got diluted. But the fact that it got diluted is not the tire of the beged. The beged is still tame because you need to go through this process. This is the question. Beged shavah by kesem. Avir all of shiva samanim. Move out. Yeah, so that's the halacha. You have no choice. If you lost the kesem, you have to take the shiva samanim and put it on the entire beged. Shimon Allah Shimon Allah says, "Boitgoy shchunois shchunois." No, you don't have to do that. What you could do is that you could look at each shchuna, each neighborhood of this beged independently, and if you can't find the kesem, so then the halacha is you don't have to put the samanim on the entire beged. It's a very bekula. At that point, just be toivel the beged, go through the regular tahira process. The only time you have to use the shiva samanim is if you can find the kesem. But if you don't find the kesem, whereas the Tanakhama says you have no choice, the entire beged, he holds, Rabbi Shimon Elazar holds, no, it's okay. Of the way, shechvazera, what happens if there was shechvazera on a beged and now you can't find the shechvazera? So the halacha is like this, chadosh, if it's a new beged, boitkei b'machat. So then, what you could do is you could, there's a way to do a bedika. You take a machat, take a needle, you put it over the beged. The eerie where the shechvazer is, that dried up, is going to be a little bit rougher. It's going to be a little bit harder. So through the machat, you'll be able to determine where the shechvazer is, and then you can deal with it. Shachuk, if however it's an older beged, so the machat apparently is not going to work for an older beged, the bait kebacham, you put it up against the sun, and against the sun, it's going to be nikartana. Rabbi Shimon Elazar said that as it relates to a beged that there was a kesem that got lost. So bait ke shchune shchuneis, what does that mean? Shchune shchuneis, in shchune pchusa mishalish as bais. A shchuna means an area of three etzmas. Son of Rabbanon. Beged, Jabba by Kalayim. There was a beged, and there was Kalayim in this beged, and you can't find the Kalayim. You know it's here somewhere. But so it's a wool beged, and there's a chut of linen, and you can't find it. So the halacha is, Hareza, Loyim, Karem, Loyim, Kechav. Number one, you can't sell it to an Oyvet Kechav. The reason is, because even though an Oyvet Kechav is allowed to wear shatnez, and you're not going to be Oyvet if an Oyvet Lay Sitan Mikshel by selling it to an Oyvet Kechav, but you're afraid that the Oyvet Kechav is going to sell it to you. He is not going to know where the beged that the shatnez is in it, because you can't really see it, because it was a beged Sha'avat by Kalayim, and it's for that reason you're being Oyvet if an Oyvet Lay Sitan Mikshel. Meaning, it sounds like, for sure, Yid's not allowed to wear this beged. A Yid can't wear it. The question is, they're therefore not selling it to a Yid. That's dead on arrival. The question is, can I sell it to a guy? So you think, why not? The reason is, how do you know the guy's not going to resell it? And if he resells it, and then a yid buys it, and he can't find the shanis because it's not obvious, so that's a problem. You shouldn't use it as a saddle for your donkey. So apparently, you're allowed to use shatnas as a saddle from your donkey. That's implied. But this beged, sha'ovat by shatnas, you shouldn't. Meaning, if this was a full-fledged shatnas, you knew for sure the shatnas in it, then use it as a saddle. The problem is, this doesn't look like shatnez. You know what's going to happen? In 3 years from now, you're going to forget there was ever shatnez in there. You're not going to see it, because it was a beged sha'avat by shatnez. So you're not going to see it, and you're not going to chop, and you may decide, you know, let me use my saddle and turn it into a suit. Okay. That could happen, and at that point, you're not going to notice that the shatnez in there. So therefore, but if you want to use it as tachrich and lemes, that's something you're allowed to do. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, and this next Gemara is epic. Zaysay Meres. You're telling me that you're allowed to put a mace, a tachrichin, that's made of shatnez? That's okay. Tachrichin's made of shatnez. This yid was upgehit in his whole life. He lived 120 years, and he's buried in shatnez. Is that okay, Frank the Gemara? Why is that possible? Zaysay Meres. You know what you see from there, Mitzvah's Batelus, Lassalavoy. That this yid is going to wake up, Lachat Chias HaMesim, and he's going to be standing, and he's going to be wearing his tachrichin that's made out of shatnez. He's going to be over a loisase in the Torah. Must be Mitzvah's Batelus, Lassalavoy. that when Tchias HaMeisim is going to happen and everyone's going to get up, there's going to be no mitzvahs. There's going to be no mitzvahs Esser. There's going to be no mitzvahs Loisase. There's not going to be Nisa Shanis. There's not going to be Nisa Shanis. What are you about? Now he's dead, so he's not chayv for mitzvahs now. And when he wakes up, it's not going to be a problem either. So Rabbi Yosef said that from this brisa, beget shavet by kalayim, you're allowed to make tachrichin l'meis, meaning you're not concerned that you're going to take the tachrichin and now use it for something else. But what do you mean? What about the meis himself? Must be, it's not a problem. Yeah, I understand now it's not a problem. But what about lachatchias ha-meisim? Must be, mitzvahs petelos lasad lovi. Only Abaye. Abaye said, item rav dimi. Vavar amani rav yanu, lashon alu softe, avlekoiv reyaseh. Whoa, it's not so simple. Because didn't we hear in the names of different amayurim that said that even though you're allowed to bury a meis in tachrichin, but it's only if he's going to be in the tachrichin while the hesped is taking place, temporarily. But to bury him, then not. Why not? Probably because mitzvahs are not betelos lasad lovi. I'm like, no, lavit problem. Rabbi Yochanan afilu lekayvroi. Rabbi said, no, Rabbi Yochanan said afilu lekayvroi. And by the way, Rabbi Yochanan tamid. Rabbi Yochanan said, ma'itach seba meisim chavshi, kimin shemeis adam nafsi nasa chavshi min hamitzvahs. Meaning, this halacha that you're allowed to bury a meis in tachrichim that are made out of shatnez implies two chedushim. Number one, that when a person's dead, he's not chayv mitzvahs. You know, dead person. Is he chayv a mitzvahs? La meisim chavshi, that's Rabbi Yochanan's member in Shas. Kivin shemeis adam nafsi chavshi min ha-mitzvahs. Number two, la'achar tchias ha-meisim, mitzvahs betelos la'asav. There's a lot to talk about this. We'll get back to this. Omer Raphram bar Papa, Omer Rav Chizda, beged, shavu by kalayim. If there was a beged that had kalayim, tzoyvoy. So what you could do is, you can dye the beged, umutter, and then it's going to be mutter. Meaning, the assumption is that if you dye wool and you dye linen, they're not going to look exactly the same. So if you know the shatness somewhere, there's a little bit of linen in this wool baguette, so just dye it. It should show up. And if it doesn't show up, if you can't see which is a little bit different, where the linen is, then it means that the whole thing is muta. I'm going to be Rava the Raphram Bar Papa of Hadron fame. Minole le Sabaha. So he told him, how did Saba know this? So who's Saba? That's Rav Chizda. It's Rav Chizda was Saba here. So he told him, how do you know this? Amale Masisa, I know from a mission. Time will enter the mission. Baita gacha magia lasala. When it comes to Tumas Mace, that was lost until you get to the cellar, the Eleka, and if not, if you can't find it, Ema Erev Nakla. So then we said, you can't find it, you can't find it. Meaning something was Becheskas that there was Tumah there, and you went searching for the Tumah, you hired a crew, and they couldn't find it. So at some point, it was Machlekes Remei the Chacham. Remei says, no, it's always going to remain Tum. But the Chacham argues Remei. We pass like the Chachamim. Chacham said, it's okay. So Hachinami, he said, here too, Amra Vikisna Bahadadi, Leisalak Luitziva. Over here, Amra and Kisna, wool and linen. Amra's wool, Kisna. Linen. They don't react the same to dye. As a result, I think dyeing it is like excavating. And if you can't find it, then you have to assume that it was probably taken away. Now, before we go weiter, we have two Gemaras over here that talk about a beged, where there was a little bit of kalayim in this beged. You can't find the kalayim, so different sugyas. You can't sell it to a guy, you can't use it as a saddle for your donkey. You could use it as tachrichin. Additionally, Rav Chizda, Saba, had an idea. He said, dye it, and if you can't tell after dyeing it where the linen is, then just forget the whole thing. Freik tais zakasha, I don't understand. Second tais on the yamin. Begit shavet by kalayim, loyim kirenu loyvet kechavim, v'im toim na freik tais viz, v'lifto beruba. Why don't you say bitl beruba? It sounds like this linen was very, very small, proportionate, to the wall. So if that's the case, why don't you say Bittul B'Raif? And Tosfos has a Gemara, Masechtas Tmura, Tafla Medal Amar Aleph, go down memory lane, not so long ago, where the Gemara discussed the Sar of a Nazir, which is Asa Ba'na. It was weaved into a Beged. So the halacha is, you dalek, you have to burn the whole Beged. Faith go, why burn the Beged? Why don't you say Bittul B'Raif? And the Gemara says, it's talking about a case where you couldn't be Mevaplet. The Gemara had a bunch of reasons why maybe there was no Bittul B'Raif over there. But theoretically, Bittul should work, even in a Beged. If you weave a little bit of linen and wool, why don't you say Bittul B'Raif? Says Tosfos V'Yesh Shloim, are very, very important, you say. The Leishayich Bittul B'Raif, Elokisha Issim Mu'urav Beheter. So if I have a Cheftz of Isser and of Heter, so Isser and Heter come together, then you say Bittul B'Raif. But by kalayim, they're both mutter. The nesar in ayudei taruvos. Each one independently is mutter. It's just that when they come together, it's the taruvos that's iser. What's the tzushtal to this? Where else do you have this idea? Exactly. With two things on mutter, but then when they come together, they create iser. That's basal b'chavah. Basal b'chavah, you do have betel b'rei, right? You don't have chanan. That's Rabbeinu Ephraim Shita in Masechta Shulchan. So we'll get into that Yetz Hashem tomorrow. But it was a very important Tosfos, where Tosfos says that the only time you say betel b'rei is when you have iser. So for example, they hear of a nazar, that's iser. That's like a shtik nevela. That's a piece of chazer. The hir of a nazar. So being that the hir of a nazar was nesarev in a beged of mutter, so you have a piece of iser that was nesarev with heter, yeah, you have betel b'rei. That's the Gemara's question in Tmura, Lamadala. But over here, the pishton is heter, the tzemer is heter. It's just that when they come together, the taruvus is what creates the iser. It's when the taruvus creates the iser. In that case, you don't have the halacha of betel b'rei. It's a very famous taisa. A good way to remember what taf and mesach is needed this taisa is it's needed of samach aleph. Samach Aleph is Bittul Bereif, right? 61 of 60 connected ones. This is just a good way to remember that. But either way, that's the Gemara. Very important Tais. Amr Rav Achabri, this other Tais is on the Samad that we have to get to. Amr Rav, I think this Amid will take us right into Brachas Davis. Amr Rav Achabri, the Rav Yevin. This is not a little more Talmud Torah than Nashim, and I think we're good to go. Amr Rav Achabri, the Rav Yevin, Mishmei Demar Zutra, Haiman de Rami, Chuta de Kisna, Beglime da Amra. If somebody had a chut of linen inside a beged that was made out of wool, v'natke, and he tried pulling it out, v'lo yodat, and he doesn't know, v'natke lo yodat. Doesn't know if he pulled it out 100%. I mean, he can't find it now. He knows he yanked it out, but maybe it did come out, maybe it didn't come out. He's not 100% sure. So the question is, could he wear the beged or not? So it says the Gemara Shapadami, he could wear the beged, my time. Because midday raisa, shatnes ksir, midday raisa, it says in the Torah, shatnes. And what does shatnes mean? Achia shua, tavui, venus. So loosely translated, what's shatnez? If you have a beged that has wool and linen in it, so that's what shatnez is. But really, shatnez midday raisa has very strict qualifications. The way shatnez is it has to be shua, which literally means smooth, tavui means spun, nuz means woven, which practically speaking means the thread has to have shatnez in it, meaning the thread has to have wool and linen. You would have had to literally spin the actual thread together, then make a beged from that thread. But if you have a beged, and in the beged you take two threads, one is wool and one is linen, and you sew it together, that's not shatnez deraisa. Shatnez derabanan. But it's not shatnez deraisa. Shatnez deraisa is asheyu shua tovi venuz. The actual thread is made up of shatnez. So it says the Gemara, this is clearly not the case. Because here you had a case where the beged was a wool beged, and there was a little bit of linen inside the wool beged. Now the question is, did you pull out the linen, or did you not pull out the linen? This is for sure not shatnez midei raisa, right? Because midei raisa, it has to be shatnez. Rabbanan, who the gods rube. This is all midei rabbanan. Kimid lo yada inaki. But being that over here, you have a suffix, maybe you removed it out. So what are you left with? A sfeika de rabbanan. Suffix de rabbanan is lakula, and you're allowed to go ahead and wear this beged. Maskefler of Ashi, ima oishua oitabui oinus. You're assuming that this is only shatnez de rabbanan. Why? Because shatnez de raisa has to be shua vitavui vinus. How do you know? Because it says shatnez. Maybe shatnez is oishua oitabui oinus. Either combed, spun, or woven. How do you know that it has to be combed, spun, and woven? How do you know it needs all three? So the Gemara, the Hilchos of Gemara Zutra, but the Gemara says, even the Rav Ashi was maskef for Rav Ashi. Right? Maskef means takuf, tkifus. He was very disturbed. He didn't agree with this at all. But at the same time, the halacha is like Gemara Zutra. And the reason is, midda afkinu rachmada b'chadol lishlo. Because it says shatnez in one word. So one word seems to imply that you need all three. It's not other, but actually you need all three. Tanu rabbanan, beged tzavua, metame mishum kesem. If you have a colored beged, the halacha is, it's metame mishum kesem. Nasan bar Yosef Oimer, ainu mitame mishum kesem. That a beged tzavua is not mitame mishum kesem. And Rashi says, why would it not be mitame mishum kesem? Because you can't see. It's just very hard to notice the red color to inspect it on a colored beged. And then Rav Nosma Yosef added, like tikna bigdei tzavayim liisha elo lahakal al kesmei. In fact, the reason the Chachamim made a takana for a woman to wear colored clothing is to be mako by ksavim. The Gemara says tiknu mantik ninu. What's this takana? There's a takana that a woman is supposed to wear big day tzavayim. The Gemara says right elo shloi hutru big day tzavayim liisha al hakal kesmei. The only reason a woman is allowed to wear colored clothing is because of the halachas of ksavim. And again, the Gemara says hutru michal dasiri. What do you mean hutru? Why would it be usher to wear something color? Right? What color should they? Should I have to wear white? What, there's a halacha. The Gemara says in the Tanya we learned to the brayso the pumish al aspasionos that when aspasionos Vespasian
when he came and laid siege on Yerushalayim, so this is before the Churban, by Yesheni, so Chavim made certain gezeiros, Gazru al Atrois Chasanim. So there were certain hats that the Chasanim used to wear that we don't wear today, but there were certain hats that were once worn, and at that point they said it was too festive, that even though chasanas there'll be, but at the same time, that you can't wear anymore. Va'al ho'irus. And they also made a takana on the irus. What we need is bikshu ligzera big day tzavainim. They wanted to make a gzera for big day tzavainim as well. They wanted to say that to wear colored clothing, that's too festive. And even the women shouldn't wear big day tzavainim anymore. Amri, but they said, ha'adifa, better they do, k'dei lahakil al kismayim. Because like this, when it comes to ksamim, you see, you always try to be maker when it comes to ksamim, let the women wear big day tzavainim, or be a good kula as it relates to ksamim. Either way, we're leaving a lot of unfinished business here on Daf Samech Aleph on the base. Next Hashem, we'll get into it in the next few days.